Hi everyone, welcome back to the OrthoBullets podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of distal clavicophysial fractures found under the pediatric section at orthobullets.com. Let's begin with a quick summary. Distal clavicophysial fractures are rare injuries to the distal physis of the clavicle in skeletally immature patients. Diagnosis can be made with plain radiographs. Treatment is generally non-operative management with a sling. Surgical management is indicated for open fractures or those associated with impending soft tissue compromise. Now let's get into the episode. In terms of the epidemiology, remember that this is a rare injury, accounting for only 5 to 10% of clavicle fractures in children. In terms of the pathophysiology, the mechanism typically involves a fall onto an outstretched extremity or onto the side of the shoulder, a direct blow, or child abuse in rare cases. In terms of the pathoanatomy, remember that this is considered a childhood equivalent to adult AC separation. The periosteum usually remains intact with injury, and the clavicle displaces away from the physis in the periosteal sleeve, both of which remain attached to the AC and CC ligaments. Now let's review some anatomy. In terms of the clavicle osteology, remember that this is an S-shaped bone. The medial clavicle is connected to the axial skeleton via the sternoclavicular joint, and the lateral clavicle is connected to the scapula via the acromioclavicular joint. In terms of the clavicle ossification, remember that this is the first bone to ossify in the fifth week in utero, and the physis are the last to close. The central clavicle has initial growth via intramembranous ossification from the ossification center in the central portion of the clavicle, which occurs before 5 years of age. In the distal clavicle, there is continued growth via secondary ossification at the lateral physis, and the lateral epiphysis does not ossify until age 18 years. In the medial clavicle, approximately 80% of clavicular growth occurs at the medial physis through secondary ossification. The medial epiphysis does not begin to ossify until 18 to 20 years of age, and it is the last physis to close in the body, which occurs between 20 to 25 years of age. Thus, sternoclavicular dislocations in teenagers or young adults are usually physial fracture dislocations. The acromioclavicular ligaments, or AC ligaments, provide horizontal stability, whereas the coracoclavicular, or CC ligaments, provide vertical stability. The trapezoid ligament, which is part of the CC ligaments, attaches 2 centimeters from the AC joint, whereas the conoid ligament, which is the other CC ligament, attaches 4 centimeters medial from the AC joint. Now let's review the Rockwood classification. A type 1 injury involves a sprain of the AC ligaments where the periosteal tube is intact. A type 2 injury involves partial disruption of the periosteal tube. The type 3 injury involves a large split in the periosteal tube with superior displacement. A type 4 injury involves a large split in the periosteal tube with posterior displacement of the lateral clavicle through the trapezius. A type 5 injury involves complete disruption of the periosteal tube with displacement through the deltoid and trapezius. And a type 6 injury involves inferior dislocation of the distal clavicle below the coracoid. Moving on to the presentation. Symptoms will include pain and ecchymosis in older children. On exam, when we note tenderness and deformity of the distal clavicle, skin tenting may be present, and pseudoparalysis of the affected ipsilateral extremity may be present in newborns. Remember that reflexes remain intact following isolated clavicle fractures. This can help to differentiate from brachial plexus injuries. In terms of imaging, initial radiographs to obtain include an AP with or without a Zonka in order to evaluate for intraarticular injury, and an axillary lateral should also be obtained to define a type 4 injury. Later findings may include an intact periosteal sleeve, which forms a quote-unquote new lateral clavicle inferior to the superiorly displaced medial fragment. In terms of treatment, non-operative options include sling management. This is indicated in most cases, especially if the periosteum is intact. Remember that a new clavicle will form within the intact periosteal sleeve, resulting in a Y-shaped clavicle, and the displaced clavicle will typically reabsorb with time and growth. Operative options include surgical reduction. Absolute indications, which are rare, include open fractures, significant skin compromise, displaced intra-articular extension, and neurovascular injuries requiring surgery. Relative indications include severely displaced fractures in older patients with nearly closed physis, displaced and entrapped fragment in the trapezius, a floating shoulder injury, some type 3 fractures in patients approaching skeletal maturity, and types 4, 5, and 6 may need open reduction with repair of the periosteal sleeve. Complications to keep in mind include laceration of the subclavian artery or vein. This is rare and is suggested by a rapidly expanding hematoma. Remember that the thick periosteum is usually protective, but treatment is vascular repair. A non-union is another complication. This is also rare and is seen after attempts at open reduction. Treatment would include surgical fixation with an iliac crest bone graft. And another complication is pin migration, so pin fixation around the clavicle should be avoided. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to distal clavicle physeal fractures, let's walk through some questions to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For the first question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 6-year-old patient sustains an injury to his shoulder after falling from his bicycle. A radiograph is obtained, and it demonstrates an oblique fracture of the distal clavicle with superior displacement of the lateral fragment. What is the preferred treatment in this patient? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, closed reduction and pinning of the fracture. Choice 2, open reduction and plating. Choice 3, sling immobilization. Choice 4, coracoclavicular ligament reconstruction. Or Choice 5, open reduction and suture fixation. The best answer to this question is Choice 3, sling immobilization. The history and radiograph depict a patient that has sustained an oblique fracture of the distal clavicle with superior displacement of the lateral fragment. The preferred treatment is sling immobilization. Distal clavicle physeal fractures are fairly rare in the pediatric population. The robust periosteum remains intact while the clavicle displaces. The regenerative capacity is high with an intact periosteum. The coracoclavicular ligaments remain attached to the periosteum, and new bone fills any remaining bony gaps within the periosteal sleeve. Most of these injuries can be managed conservatively. Surgical intervention is rarely indicated, even with significantly displaced injuries. The publication by Nenopoulos et al. Retrospectively reviewed 75 pediatric patients treated for distal clavicular injuries. The majority of patients were treated conservatively. They indicate that results from conservative measures yielded excellent outcomes. Surgical intervention could be considered in patients greater than 8 years to optimize cosmetic results. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choices 1, 2, 4, and 5. Operative intervention is rarely indicated for distal clavicular injuries in the pediatric population. For the second question, consider the following clinical scenario. An 11-year-old boy fell directly on his left shoulder while riding a bicycle. He complains of pain in his left shoulder. A radiograph is obtained, which demonstrates a distal clavicle physeal fracture. An MRI scan of the injury is likely to reveal which of the following. And the answer choices are: Choice 1, disruption of the coracoclavicular ligaments. Choice 2, dislocation of the coracoclavicular joint. Choice 3, impingement of the inferior fragment on the brachial plexus. Or Choice 4, intact periosteal sleeve inferiorly. The best answer to this question is Choice 4, an intact periosteal sleeve inferiorly. In children, fractures of the distal clavicle are almost always through the distal physis and adjacent metaphysis, and consequently, the acromioclavicular joint is rarely dislocated. The coracoclavicular ligaments usually remain attached to the thick periosteum on the undersurface of the clavicle and are rarely damaged. Because of the thick periosteum and intact ligaments, these fractures are inherently stable and heal well with conservative treatment. In contrast, similar injuries in adults pose a higher risk for surgical intervention. That's all for this review about distal clavicle physeal fractures. We hope that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session from OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on orthobullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the OrthoBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the OrthoBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the OrthoBullets podcast.